James chapter number 3 this evening. Come with me in your Bible, please, to James chapter number 3. This has been a rough passage of Scripture. And it's not that it's difficult at all to understand. It's just that it is somewhat convicting. And as we've said many times before, it really highlights the importance of walking in the Spirit and being full of the Spirit, allowing God to make you something other than what you are by nature and something more than what we are in the flesh. We'll start in verse number 13 this evening. We are going to attempt to pack a lot of Bible study into a short amount of time together. James chapter 3, verse number 13, the Bible says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." In chapter 2, the Holy Spirit told us, don't say that you have faith. Show your faith by your works. And then in chapter 3, the Holy Spirit tells us, don't say you have wisdom. Show your wisdom by your words. Verse number 14, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not." Don't brag about that. "Glory not and lie not against the truth." Wisdom in your heart, verse number 13, show it. Verse number 14, bitter envying and strife in your heart. What are you supposed to do with that? On one hand, it's important that we're real, right? We need to be genuine. We ought to be able to be authentic. The ideal is that we do what is right on the outside because we are what is right on the inside. That we are truly furnished by the Word of God unto all good works. We need to be right on the inside and then right on the outside. But what if what's on the inside isn't right? Now, we present that as a hypothetical, but it's really not. At some time, in some way, on some level, all of us have things inside that aren't right. So we need to be real, we need to be genuine, we need to be authentic, but what if what's inside isn't right? What do we do with that? We need to restrain it. We need to suppress it. You got to hold that back. You've got to keep that in. That's not being fake. That's not being hypocritical. We need to work on getting the inside right so that what we do on the outside is a true reflection of what we are on the inside. But as we work on that, in the meantime, we need to minimize the damage that can be done if we let what is on the inside and isn't right out. Does that make sense? Verse number 14, "If ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts," what do you need to do with that? Put a lid on it. Don't let it out. Ask the Holy Spirit for help so that it doesn't go any farther. Don't let it escape. Verse number 15. "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Chapter 4. "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, which ye have not, because ye ask not." Now, we have more to cover in chapter 3 before we get to chapter number 4, but I wanted to read those first two verses to point out something that relates to our Bible study this evening. When we read James 4, 1 and 2, we are often reading that passage to show the biblical explanation, the reason for war. Why does one nation go to war against another nation? And the answer is here in the Bible, in the passage. The simple answer is lust. You fight and kill, you desire to have, you don't have what you want. And so, and that is the biblical explanation. And that's typically the way that we read this passage. But in the context, did you see the context? The context of James 4 is not one nation going to war against another nation. The context of James 4 is one brother going to war against another brother. Read it again, chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? You see that? This is not on a global scale. This is not on a national scale. This is war and fighting in the church house. This is the outworking of the envying and strife that was in somebody's heart. Verse number 2, end of the verse, ye fight in war. God's people, the brethren. This is not about Ukraine and Russia. It is, but more specifically, in the context, is something different. This is fighting in war in the church house. And the reason's still the same. Verse number 2, coming on a hint even of your lust. Verse number 2, ye lust. Back in chapter 3 again, verse number 14, there are saved people who have bitter envying and strife in their hearts. In verse number 16, they bring it with them into the church house. In chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, the result is that there are wars and fightings among God's people. Isn't that something? Chapter 3, verse 10 says, brethren, these things ought not so to be. But sadly, they often are. We ought to be fighting the world, the flesh, the devil, not each other. We ought to be standing together in unity and in love, centered on the person of Jesus Christ, giving Him the preeminence as we encourage one another and build each other up and help each other grow, and not tearing each other down and hindering others through our own hypocrisy. And so, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, gives us the instruction that we need when it comes to verse 14, verse 16, envying and strife. Envying and strife. Coupled together by the Holy Spirit, not only here in James 3, also Romans 13:13, 1 Corinthians 3:3, 2 Corinthians 12:20, Philippians 1:15, 1 Timothy 6:4. Six different places these two words, these two concepts are coupled with one another. So we'll study them for just a few minutes this evening. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, as we look to your word. Give us light. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding. Help us to see ourselves in the mirror of your word. Help us to see what you'd like us to be. Help us to be changed into the image, conformed in the image of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us. Help us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name and amen. I'll read a number of passages to you. We'll turn to a few of them with one another. Let me start with a definition of envy. What does it mean? The dictionary defines envy as a feeling of uneasiness or ill will toward another person on account of, this is the reason for envy, it's uneasiness or ill will toward another because of their real or supposed superiority, their superior condition, their superior circumstances, their superior happiness. Basically, what envy is, it's what happens when somebody else has what I want but don't have. That might be material possessions. It might be their gifts and their talents. It might be a position or an opportunity. It could be a relationship. It could be a set of circumstances. Whatever it is, they have it, I don't. And so that causes some bitterness or hatred in my heart toward that person. And it's wicked. It's just one more manifestation of selfishness. And the Bible says a lot about envy. It is a strong and destructive passion. It's something, if you find it in your heart, you better keep it there. You better deal with it there before it gets out. You better put a lid on that and ask God the Holy Spirit for help. Because Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart's the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Listen, it's not going to harm that person that you feel is superior. It's just going to eat you up on the inside. Proverbs 27:4, wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? That envy, if it gets out, it's going to hurt people. Remember Joseph? His brother sold him to slavery. Why? They were envious. Jesus, the Jews delivered him to Pilate, and Pilate knew why it was. It was obvious to him they were envious. The Pharisees, the chief priests, the rulers, the scribes, they persecuted the apostles in the book of Acts. Why? It was because they were envious at the crowds and the multitudes they were able to draw and the many thousands that followed them into saving faith in Jesus Christ. The apostles had something the Pharisees wanted, people's admiration. People following them, people listening to them. And so the Pharisees were envious, and when it got out, they persecuted the apostles. Envy is listed in Romans 1:29 and Galatians 5:21 as a work of the flesh, not the spirit. It's characteristic of the carnal Christian in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We are warned in Psalms and Proverbs not to be envious at the wicked. And then we're warned in the New Testament not to be envious against the brethren. 1 Peter 2, verse number 1 says we need to put away all envies. Okay? Just get rid of it. You find it in your heart, ask God to help you get it out. Envying and strife. What is strife? Strife is, according to the dictionary, exertion or contention for superiority. You see the connection here. Strife is a contest of emulation, either by intellectual or physical efforts. Strife is contention in anger or enmity. It is a contest, a struggle for victory, a quarrel, a war, a fight. James 4. So envy. I don't like you because I feel inferior to you. In some way, for some reason. I have this idea that you have something better than what I have. And so I have ill will towards you because of that. Strife is, I'm going to cut you down so I don't feel inferior anymore. Now I feel superior. Strife is, I'm going to contend so that I'm the one who's superior. And maybe you can be envious against me. They kind of have the same root. And the root is just selfishness. But the fruit is corruption. Bitter envying and strife. And one can certainly easily lead to the other. Look at Luke chapter 22. Let's run some references this evening. Luke chapter 22. Verse number 24. The setting is the Lord's Supper. This is the upper room. This is the night that Christ was betrayed and crucified. And His desire is to share a meal with His disciples. One last opportunity for some fellowship with the men who have followed Him for 3.5 years. Christ is trying to prepare them for the events that are just about to transpire. This takes up 6 entire chapters in the Gospel of John. What He said to them, what He did with them, the love that He showed them. But here's what takes place. This is right after Christ breaks the bread and distributes the wine. Verse number 24, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. I cannot think of a worse place to have that argument. The only rival I can think of is as Peter, James, and John came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and had the same argument. Here they are, all on one side of the table with the Lord, eating dinner. In the presence of Jesus Christ, and they're not interested in exalting Him. They're interested in exalting themselves. They could have been enjoying His presence, enjoying fellowship with one another. They could have actually benefited from Christ's attempts to prepare them for the events that are to transpire that very evening. But instead, they're fighting amongst themselves. They are striving for superiority. They are engaged in a contest to figure out and to prove which one of them is the best. And the answer is none of them are the best. Jesus is the best. Let's give Him all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. But that's not what they did. And it's sometimes not what we do. Let me read you some Bible verses. Philippians 2, 3. Let nothing be done through strife. And then listen to what the Holy Spirit connects that to. Through strife or vain glory. Because even if you think that you win the contest, we are nothing when we make the right comparison. Because the right comparison isn't horizontal. The right comparison is not who's the most spiritual family in the church. The right comparison is not, it's not one another. The right comparison is, I sin and come short of the glory of God. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let Jesus Christ have the preeminence. He is the greatest. Let's all just worship Him with one another. Follow Him with one another. Serve Him together. Let nothing be done through strife. But in loneliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Don't fight about it. Just go ahead and say, you win. 2 Timothy 2:23 says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. If something is going to possibly result in contention, leave it alone. Let it go. Let it go. Verse number 24 says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle and on. What does it mean to serve the Lord? It means to follow Christ's example. What is Christ's example? He loved us. What is it to love us? It's to always seek the blessing and benefit of another. Christ loved not Himself. He pleased not Himself. He laid down His life for us. That is exactly the opposite of proving us how great He is. He actually did prove it, but the way He proved it was by humbling Himself and serving. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Proverbs 17:1 says, better is a dry morsel in quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices. That's like that restaurant that we ate at in Brazil. Every cut of meat from the cow that you can think of, they brought it on the skewer and carved it fresh on the plate. It was delicious. It was temptation. That's a house full of sacrifices. It'd be better to eat crackers for dinner than to have the feast, Proverbs 17:1, with strife. The good food just doesn't taste so good when you're sitting there arguing with the people across the table. And that's true at home. It's true at your house. And it's true at the church house. Think about Genesis 13. Remember Lot? Genesis 13 is where he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And that was the first step in the wrong direction. And you know how that situation ended. He lost his family. They got so far away from God, they didn't want to leave that place of perversion and filth and abomination to God. But what was the thing that caused Lot to pitch his tent towards Sodom? What was it that was the impetus to the separation from Abraham? Remember what it was? Genesis 13, it was the strife. There's contention between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen, and the strife was so great that they couldn't dwell together, and so they had to separate. And Abram said, Lot, take your pick, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And because of the strife with his uncle, his whole family ended up far away from God. And how many times has that scenario repeated itself among God's people? You witness to people, when you invite people, when you talk to people, and they say, oh yeah, I grew up in church. And it's in the past tense. And I've been in church, and it's in the past tense. How many times is the thing that caused the first step away from God was some petty fight and argument that shouldn't have ever been a thing? The reason the Holy Spirit has so much to say about this is because what it can lead to and what it often does. If you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, you need to recognize it has the potential to do a great deal of damage. James 3, this thing is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. There's a lot of destruction that can take place if you don't deal with what's there in your heart. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, book of wisdom, run some references here. Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Three very simple points about strife from this book of the Bible. You ready? Number one, don't start it. Don't start it. Number two, if somebody else starts it, don't continue it. And then number three, somebody has to start it, somebody has to stop it, you be the person to stop it. That's not complicated. I'm glad the Bible makes it simple for us. It'd be nice if we pay attention to it. It'd be nice if we believed it. It really is that easy. It's not always easy to put into practice, but the truth is not at all difficult. Yes, sir. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 30, don't start it. The Bible says, strive not with a man without cause if he have done thee no harm. Here's what the flesh says. I have a cause. That guy deserves it. I can't let him get away with saying that. Okay, verse 31, envy thou not the oppressor. You see strife and envy together again? Verse 31, envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. You can't believe that he would give you a reason to strive with him, so you're going to fix it by striving back. You're going to put yourself on his level, and that's the solution to the problem. Again, we're going to take a phrase from a verse of the Bible and use it as our excuse and justification for something that is obviously wrong. Verse number 30, strive. Let's just put the period after the second word. I'm not changing the Bible, I'm just saying it works. Strive not. Strive not. Look at chapter 28. Remember, strife comes down to trying to prove that I'm better or I'm right. And in most situations, it's just completely unnecessary. Even if the other person started it. Don't choose his ways. Chapter 28, verse number 25. Proverbs 28:25. He that is of a proud heart, look at this, stirreth up strife. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made faithful. fat. Now, we're not supposed to do this. We're not supposed to read the Bible and think about somebody else. But you did it when I read the verse. You thought of someone, most likely, who just has a tendency to go around stirring stuff up, causing problems, getting it going, starting the fight. That phrase shows up over and over again in the book of Proverbs. And not only does Proverbs talk about these people, but it says why they do what they do. Why would somebody always be picking a fight? Why would listen, there are people who are not happy unless they're in the middle of something. They get some kind of sick pleasure or enjoyment from the contention. Proverbs 28:25 is really clear. He that is of a proud heart. If the person you thought of was you, Holy Spirit says your problem is pride. Reason you're always fighting with everybody is you're proud. The reason every relationship that you're involved in is a problem is because you're trying to prove you're better than the other person. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. And maybe it's not that you totally loathe and despise this person, it's just that you love yourself more. Because hatred is often used as a point of comparison. You love the one, you hate the other. And when I love self, it's hard to love others. And it's easy to get this kind of thing going. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife. He that's slow to anger appeases strife. Proverbs 16:28, a froward man, somebody who's going the wrong direction, stirreth up strife. A whisperer separateth chief friends. Listen, just because people don't like you and don't want to be friends with you doesn't mean you need to ruin everybody else's friendships. That's why they don't like you. I'm not trying to be mean. That's what the Bible said. We either believe it and let it help us, or we can just keep going around fighting with everybody. Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. This is a sin that leads to other sins. Proverbs 30:33. This is a great verse in the Bible. It's so true. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. Go home and try it. Prove the Bible true. And this statement is just as true. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. Don't cause it. Don't start it. Don't stir it up. Just leave it alone. Proverbs 17:14. Look there. Proverbs 17:14. And we've read some of these verses already in James chapter 3. It helps us to read them again. Proverbs 17, verse 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Okay, they block the river. There's a reservoir. There's a dam. And that water's powerful. As soon as there's some kind of a crack, as soon as something that's blocking that water is removed, just imagine the force of the water breaking through. That's what strife is. That's what contention is. It's a lot easier to start than it is to stop. If that thing's dammed up and you remove the dam, good luck getting it back in place once the water's flowing. That's what strife is. Holy Spirit says, listen, you need to just not start it. Leave off contention before it be meddled with. Chapter 25, verse number 8. Chapter 25, verse 8. Proverbs 25, 8. The Bible says, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Don't go looking for it. There are people who live their life like that. They're rushing to see how quick they can start the fight. There is a brand of independent Baptists that think strife is a virtue. It might be Baptist, but it's not biblical. Go not forth hastily to strife. So don't start it, but then don't continue it. It takes two people to have an argument. And you don't have to be one of them. Proverbs 26, verse number 17. 26, 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him. Now that's even worse. This isn't even your own fight. You're getting involved in other people's fights. Just stop. What does the Holy Spirit compare it to? Taking a dog by the ears. Bad idea. It's going to bite you. You're not going to win. You're going to get hurt. Verse number 18, continue the passage. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, just kidding. Am not I in sport? Verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. That's really simple truth. If you don't want the fire to keep burning, don't add any wood. So what's the Holy Spirit saying? So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Just stop talking. Stop adding wood to the fire. Verse 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. But I didn't start it. But you didn't stop it either. You don't have to engage. You don't have to escalate. Sometimes the best way to respond is to say nothing. Sometimes the best way to react is to turn around and walk away. Because you may not have started the fire, but as soon as you open your mouth, all you're doing is adding wood. Just let it die. Let it go. Don't start it. Don't continue it. And then be the one to stop it. Look at chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Verse number 3. It's a theme verse at our house. Quote it with me, girls. Maybe you ought to make it the theme verse at your house too. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 3. The Bible says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. I want to prove that I'm right. I want to prove that I'm better. Here's how the Bible said you can prove that you're better. Prove that you're more honorable. Be the one to put a stop to the argument. Be the one that lets it go. Be the one that makes sure it doesn't continue any farther. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Somebody has to start it, but somebody has to stop it. You can make your choice which one you're going to be. If you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, don't let it out. Keep a lid on it. Verse number 10, Proverbs 22, verse number 10. Be the one to stop it. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 10. Now, sometimes in order to stop it, it's not just keeping your mouth shut. It's not just walking away. It's not just deflecting the argument. It's not just a soft answer. Sometimes it's this. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Now, that doesn't work with your siblings. Well, it's their fault, so we're going to kick them out of the family. That you can't do that. You think that'll solve the problem, but the problem's not the other people. The problem's our heart. This is a lesson, however, for those in places of leadership. Think about a church setting. You always hate to see people leave. You really want to help everybody that you can. And what you hope is that sitting under the preaching of the Word of God and being in fellowship with God's people, it's going to help us all change the things that are wrong in our lives. And there is only a very specific list of conditions given in the New Testament on which to exclude somebody from membership in a local church. 1 Corinthians 5 talks about immorality and drunkenness and extortion, those kinds of things disqualify you from participation. Disqualify you from being part of the body. But in the same list in 1 Corinthians 5 is a railer. You know what a railer is? Somebody who thrives on strife. Someone who opens their mouth and just doesn't stop. Someone who goes on and on and on and on. 1 Corinthians 5 says they've got no place in a local New Testament church. Proverbs 22 says you're better off without them. Romans 16, 17 says, listen, if you've got somebody that's always contrary to the doctrine that you have earned, you need to mark that person and avoid that person. And listen, it always should break our hearts when somebody leaves or when somebody has to be dismissed. But listen, when the majority of the problems in a church leave with that person, God just helped you out. And it doesn't mean you don't love them, and it doesn't mean you don't pray for them, but for the benefit of the body of Christ, you got to be willing to let them go. Amen. Because you cannot sacrifice the good of the body for the sake of the individual who won't let the Holy Spirit get this out of their hearts. Cast out the scorner. And that's going to have a number of different applications, the different situations that we face, but you can't let strife continue. And if it's in your heart, you can't let it out. One more passage, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. The word strife occurs 43 times in the Bible. Every reference is negative. Obviously. The verb form, though, strive, that word shows up 32 times, and 9 of them are positive. You see, there are some fights worth having. There are some things we ought to fight for. There are some victories that are worth winning. And this is really one of the worst things about strife in the body of Christ. Why are we fighting with one another when we should be fighting for something else? Why are we making enemies of our brothers and sisters in Christ when that effort really ought to be directed somewhere else? Luke 13, 24. Let me give you the positive references. We're going to read Hebrews 12. But strive to enter in at the straight gate. That's something worth doing. That's something worth fighting for. That's something worth contending for. Romans 15, 20, Paul said, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel. In Philippians 1, 27, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In Colossians 1, in verse number 27, the Bible says, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Striving for mastery in 1 Corinthians 9, 2 Timothy 2. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. If you need to strive, if you need a fight, if bitter envying and strife is in your heart, just redirect it. How about you strive against your strife? How about you strive against your envy? How about you strive against that mouth that's not yet submitted to the control of the Holy Spirit? Why not fight that? Why not fight the flesh and not the brethren? Hebrews 12 is about considering Jesus. Looking to Jesus, following Jesus. If you're going to strive against something, let it be the sin in your life, the sin in your heart. God help us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this evening. Help us to heed its instruction. God, thank you for the fellowship we enjoy. God, thank you for the church family that you've given us. Lord, would you help us to love and appreciate one another like we should? God, would you deliver us from comparing ourselves among ourselves? God, would you help us to recognize and root out any envy that ever finds a place in our hearts? Lord, would you give us the grace to always give Jesus Christ the preeminence? Help us to never take the glory that He deserves. God, help us not to point others to ourselves, but always point others to Your Son. God, bless us as we go from here. Help us to be bold and faithful witnesses. Help us to love Your Word, believe Your Word, live by Your Word, apply its truths in our homes, in our lives, at the job, at the church house. And we love You. We'll thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.